T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hope you had a terrific weekend. What a weather weekend it was. What an absolutely glorious Saturday we had. About as
real nice
perfect
day.
A summer day as you
real
could possibly
nice.
Have. I hope you got outside. I hope you did a little bit of grilling. Maybe you got to watch some Little League baseball or soccer or watch your kids run around. But just a terrific weekend. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Lot to do today, including our first conversation with Malika Andrews, now the Tribune's Bulls and NBA reporter. I'm told she's terrific and look forward to talking with her. Midday Midway at 11, our buddy Mark Gonzalez of the Trib, who covers the Cubs, he will join us at noon as the Cubs are now out west. They'll be taking on the Giants 9:15 for that first pitch, a game you'll hear on Sports Radio 670. The Score. A lot more to do, surprises along the way as well, and giveaways. We have two pairs of special passes to meet Joe Madden.
Cool.
Following our July 24th live broadcast from our downtown Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. Man, we're busy on the 23rd.
Yeah, it's July 23rd. We got the whole thing with Mike Montgomery and Wilson Contreras, and the day after that is Joe?
Correct.
That's a lot of stuff.
The day after that is going to be Joe live here. So we're going to be busy and Cubs focused with a lot going on. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, The Score. Email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live because we're streaming at 670thescore.com. We have texting. We have an occasional sex that comes through. And we enjoy it. At least I do in my old age. You take what you can get. At 67011, you text, we reply, message, and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. That man is at C1 McKnight. Is that a Vin Scully shirt?
It is, yeah. It's a Vin Scully shirt.
How cool is that? An old fashioned
kind
microphone.
Of a fan, yeah, says, with the Vin thing on it.
Pretty stylized. Is that his own logo? Or?
I think it's the logo the Dodgers started using for him in his last 2 years or something
very
like
cool.
that. Yeah, they put together a little logo for him.
And I am at Dan_Bernstein. You can also check us out on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page on Facebook. Facebook Live there as well. Watch 670thescore.com for the video feed.
Hi,
cameras.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going? That's directed by Brian Gertsch. Our producers, just two of them today, Jay Zawoski.
Oh, in closing with you, Coop, where do you and the other coaches and Rick Renteria go when things get as tough as they are? And by that, I know you've been around this game, the major league level, for 20 years.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. You know what we do? We come back to the ballpark the next day and tee it up again.
I love that man.
Was that Don Cooper singing? Is it Petula Clark?
You're damn right it is. That's amazing.
And it was actually, it was pretty good.
That's in tune.
I know.
I don't know if it's in the right key or anything, but you look, the intervals are good. He's got kind of a lilt to his, we're going to need to hear.
Is there any doubt
that
he
again.
Owns karaoke when he goes for it?
Oh, no doubt at all.
Okay, because you know he's got two Sinatra go-tos. He's from Bayonne, New
yes.
Jersey.
Yeah, he
so
absolutely
you know,
does.
It's probably not My Way. My guess, it's either
Summer Wind is probably one of them.
I'm trying to think of Register. Witchcraft.
Slow. Oh, Witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
That's a little too smoky for Coop.
Okay.
That's a little too sultry. Although he's not wearing pants, I assume, when he's doing this.
Sinatra
either.
Or Coop?
Is there any song that would sound better while eating soup?
We should ask our guy John Vincent.
That's true. He'd know.
He would know.
He'd know.
We could ask him what would be the perfect sort of Don Cooper Register Sinatra song.
So right? In closing with you, Coop, where do you and the other coaches and Rick Renteria go when things get as tough as they are? And by that, I know you've been around this game, the major league level, for 20 years.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown.
That's good.
I haven't gone downtown in years.
Wow.
That's so good.
On the board is Rick Camp.
During the commercial break on the big video board in left field here at Wrigley, there's a shot of Jimmy Buffett, who is in the stands taking this one in. I like the fact that he's sitting with the people.
Oh, yeah.
Not in one of the fancy boxes.
Now, are you a Jimmy Buffett fan?
The 2-0.
Oh, I so badly wanted Zach to, like, break out into Son of a Sailor. One of the really slow, depressing Jimmy Buffett songs.
Is it depressing?
Son of a Sailor? Yeah, Son of a Sailor is a little depressing.
Does the sailor die or something?
Yeah, no, it's just the realization that you'll never be what your father was kind of thing. Like, that generation is past. It's a little sad.
He doesn't.
It's not quite as sad as he went to Paris, which is real depressing.
Maybe Zach could launch it. I wish I had a pencil-thin mustache.
Not
depressing. Are you a Jimmy Buffett fan?
The 2-0.
Yeah, I guess I have never paid attention to the lyrics of Son of a Sailor.
Maybe Son of a Sailor is a little depressing.
The sailor succumbs to scurvy after not having enough vitamin C on a long voyage.
You start to wonder why they brought all those limes across. There's a reason for it.
And
scurvy's
sauerkraut, believe it or not. Sauerkraut.
Oh, I believe it.
So if you read the book Salt, it explains what the being able to pickle cabbage did to extend an empire.
I have read that book, and nothing sets up a nap better than reading that book. Great book! Boy, that'll put you down for a half an hour.
This segment brought to you by Casper Sleep. Sleeping on a Casper mattress guarantees you sleep cool and comfortable. Go to Casper.com for a 100-night risk-free trial and special July 4th savings. Still going on. Casper.com. 312-644-6767. Yes, yeah, the Mexicutioner Ray Diaz is off today.
Not here today.
No, he has other Mexicutioner assignments, so he's on assignment, I guess. So he's on loan to a museum for some reason. We have the Zach LaVine news came down, obviously, after our show, and I was so unhappy at first to see the total number, and then I started getting the mitigating specifics of the contract, and I have reached a point of equilibrium, a point of pure meh, if that's possible.
Would you say you have ennui?
Perhaps
that close to it.
No, it's not. It's not really boredom, but I've
dissatisfaction.
I've worked, I've worked. Is that, you know, we get what I'm saying here?
Of course,
I do. Gestalt of this that it's. I don't like it, but I understand that they have to make it. It's their job to maybe like it more than I do, and ultimately, the whole decision comes down to scouting and belief in your coaches. If you really think that Fred Hoiberg and this system is going to get every last bit of talent out of Zach LaVine, then vaya con Dios. Do it. Go ahead. Show me. I'm dubious. I just don't like the way he plays basketball, but I'm willing to let you make that bet, and I hope you're right and I'm wrong.
There's a couple of different ways to look at LaVine's contract. One being it's an overpay for a guy who can't play defense and is coming off an ACL injury. The other being, yeah, trust the scouting report, trust the Bulls, trust the idea that they've made a trade for one of the top 15 basketball players in the league and wanted that guy. They wanted Zach LaVine back for Jimmy Butler, right? That's part of it.
Not
Jimmy Buffett.
different Zach, different Jimmy.
Never won any awards whatsoever. Huge following, lot of fans, all that. Never won any type of award.
The 2-0.
Was he ever nominated for a Grammy?
No, I don't. I kind of doubt it.
What would the category even be?
Yacht rock.
It's not, though.
Yeah, kind of.
What do they call it?
It's offshoot yacht rock.
Key Western?
It's drunken yacht rock. Much more drunk than like the Kenny Loggins stuff of the before he started writing for movies.
Christopher Cross.
Yeah, that kind of thing. No, but there is a defining characteristic of the LaVine signing here, the decision to match the Kings offer that I think goes along with the rebuild itself. That I think there's this thing, there's this thread that runs through some of these decisions that gives an uneasiness to everyone following it. And yeah, there are explanations for this uneasiness, and there's ways out of this admittedly somewhat wide corner they've painted themselves into, this decision to make this process go and happen and work. But I can't shake the feeling, and we'll do it after an update. I'll let you know what it is. But there's this feeling I have. There's this feeling that they've given you by the way they've made some of these decisions that no one has been able to shake quite yet. I'll explain what I mean.
Okay. All right, before we get to your explanation,
this is boat
here.
Drinks. That's what this is.
This is Finns, you ass.
Oh, yeah.
Buffett is a two-time Grammy nominee.
They're all the same.
Both for Best Country Collaboration with Vocals for It's 5 o'clock Somewhere and Hey Good Lookin'.
Neither of them his songs.
Right.
5 o'clock Somewhere is an Alan Jackson thing, and then Hey Good Lookin' was a Hank Williams song.
What
I know other
got
people
cooking,
have done it.
Right?
It's Alan Jackson, Kenny Chesney, George Strait, Toby Keith, and Clint Black assisting Jimmy Buffett on his Grammy nomination.
Wow. And apparently, the Buffett people are weighing in here. It says, Buffett failed as a country western singer before he stumbled on the drunken sailor shtick.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And it's not son of a sailor. We missed a son. It's
son of a sailor
that depresses you.
I think you're right. I think you might be right. That is the full title of the song. But that's just, it's repetitive to say
awful.
When we're doing this over son of a sailor.
It wasn't quite as good as son of a doctor. It didn't quite have the same ring to it.
No. Is he a doctor of sax?
No.
Son of a doctor.
Son of a lawyer.
Sing about your trust fund maturing. The real worry you've got in life there.
One step ahead of the jailer.
I mentioned that with the Bulls rebuild and the decision to sign Zach LaVine, there's this feeling that I've got that I can't quite shake. And I think it might underlie a lot of things here. It's this uneasy feeling somewhat. And it's that in deciding to rebuild or in deciding to re-sign Zach LaVine, there's an element of letting the league make some of these decisions for you. There's an element of agency here that doesn't quite follow. Look at the White Sox rebuild to compare just a little bit. Yeah, to a certain degree, there's failure there, right? Rick Hahn's talked about this. Not being able to win with Chris Sale and Jose Quintana and Adam Eaton signed to your team for peanuts, for nothing, absolutely nothing, and not being able to win around that team, that is a failure, right? We know that. But in deciding to trade Sale, Quintana, Eaton, and others, there's agency to it. We have decided to make these trades. We will identify the players that we can get back for them. We will decide the young players to shape the future of this organization. And injuries aside, they have put together a widely respected major league farm system, minor league farm system. Mm-hmm. In the Bulls, it has not quite been their agency that's decided their path. It's been an Eastern Conference full of LeBron for years that stopped them and finally forced them, more or less, in other ways, an injury to Derrick Rose, obviously, that's kind of out of their control, which I wouldn't blame them for necessarily, that forced them to trade Jimmy Butler. It is the Kings that signed Zach LaVine to this offer sheet that forces their hand, forces their number. Now, there are explanations to kind of assuage some of this anger, some of this unease, right? If the best thing that happened with the Kings signing Zach LaVine to an offer sheet is that through that offer sheet, you got to put a whole bunch of contingency language into the contract about his knee. Like they
did it
that
for you.
The Kings did it for you. So you don't have to, LaVine and his people, they don't have to walk in there and go, do you really not believe that I'm going to be healthy? Do you really not believe that in all the medical exams, when we made the trade, that you didn't even then think that I could get back to where it was?
And you can say it has nothing to do with our beliefs.
Hey, Vlade Divac put it in there. He flopped all over the contract and made himself, it's in here and we can't change it, so now we got to do it. There's this element of agency that I think leaves Bulls fans a little bit uneasy about the path that's been chosen.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they can't win on this path. It doesn't necessarily, and win here would be the objective, win a rebuild, or not necessarily a title, but get yourself a team that has chances at an Eastern Conference Finals, because that's, let's be honest, over the next 4 or 5 years, that's really the only factor here with what the Warriors have put together, what the Lakers will likely do, and with the Rockets having re-signed Chris Paul and hopefully being relevant for 2 years when it comes to Rockets fans before the Chris Paul money starts to look real rough.
The key word you use there is agency, in ownership, and this understanding of you can appear completely committed to having made that trade, but it's undermined a little bit when you haven't gone out of your way to be out ahead of it. Like, you could have put a number on. I think that's where you're going to have to repair the relationship a little bit. You're going to have to, there is going to be some work to do.
With the Bulls and LaVine?
The Bulls and LaVine.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's going to be fine, but you want to play for the team that shows that it wants you. And it's maybe when you reach out to his representatives, this is just the nature of the system. It's sort of like arbitration in baseball.
It's a lot like that.
Where in arbitration in baseball, your employer tells you why you suck, and why you don't you deserve the money you think. And then you never sit in your own arbitration hearing. People have made that mistake.
Ask Ryan Therios.
And I think this is pretty similar to that. And Zach LaVine will be able to come to work very rich and very happy and very pleased that somebody's made this investment in him. But it's not all theirs. This decision isn't all theirs. It's a reaction. Not an action.
It's as though you can pick the best option available to you over and over and over again and get out of this. You know, you can as like if you picture it as like a stock ticker, right, that flies across the top of the screen. You can take the right option each and every time. You know, you can make that right decision. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. And just kind of as things scroll by, you pick the right one. But you're not deciding what's on the scroll. Right. Someone else is. Someone else is deciding what's scrolling past you, the options available to you. If you're on the, you know, lunch buffet or what have you, that's somebody else is putting those items out there for you. You're just taking the mashed potatoes each and every time because you know they're going to be good, if not overwhelming. Yeah, they're not going to be great, but you know they're not going to screw you over. With this, it just feels like agency is somewhat lacking here. And you know, to the point of their relationship needing to be repaired or a little bit of work to be done, credit them for that. Because, you know, as we talked with Vincent Goodwill, when we heard, you know, national guys all writing up that these negotiations, as soon as the season ended, were going to be tough. This is going to last a while. This is going to be a little bit of back and forth here. There might be some acrimony involved in the Bulls and LaVine signing that contract. There was some, and LaVine wrote a somewhat anguished piece on the undefeated, though it was, you know, kind of pretty understandable, really, from my perspective. They avoided some of that acrimony.
Actually, the understandable sounds like it could be its own vertical.
It's fine.
Right, it's fine. It's understandable.
I get it. Like, it's the premise of every piece on the I understand it.
I think that LaVine will be fine. I think that his relationship with the Bulls will be fine. I just wish I thought he was good.
Well, see, that's the other
side.
The
thing is, what do you think? $19.5 million on average in this NBA?
Right, it's not that much.
That's like... your hope if to meet value, that's a slightly above average starter.
Right.
That's what you're hoping. I mean, obviously they have higher aspirations for him.
Of course.
But if we're looking at just pure dollar value, that's about what 19.5 is.
Sure.
Now.
And the 19, Rick, you're right to point that out. But the opportunity cost here is, I think, what has a lot of people smoked.
Oh,
right?
100%. I'm just trying to give like some sort of frame of reference on the money. Because people hear $19.5 million in a vacuum without knowing anything else. And it sounds like a lot more than in this NBA it actually is.
Oh, no, go look at Devin Booker's contract. I mean...
oh, my God.
Let's parade that around. You want to look at some...
Max he's player. 21 yeah, max, years old.
Max money.
And just got $150 million.
Max, good for him. That's awesome. Good living. That's generational stuff. But if 19.5 is fine money for Zach LaVine, look at it from the other perspective. Who wants Zach LaVine, just, you know, for sake of argument... who wants Zach LaVine at $19.5 million when he does not play defense? How do you trade that? What is the value of that player at that contract? What is the value of the opportunity cost that you will now miss out on more than likely? I understand that the cap's going up. I understand there's some machinations you could make. You could trade a draft pick here. You could, if you don't sign Bobby Portis to an extension, or if you do and then you do trade him, there's a chance to get yourself to open up two max slots for the coming free agency, but it's just really hard to do. You might have one, but more than likely, what you've got is two not quite max slots open. You know what I mean? You've got two second-tier guys in a free agency yet again. I don't know that one of those guys is going to be named Klay Thompson.
This segment brought to you by Walgreens. Walgreens is here for all your diabetes needs. Stop by today to consult with your pharmacist and get trusted advice and tips about your diabetes medications and testing supplies. By the way, just so we can put a bow on this, the piggery, the Cubano,
yes,
there. It's $12.99. Pulled pork, ham, bacon, chorizo.
Oh my.
Gouda, pickles, and fried egg with chipotle dressing. I've had it. It's every bit of awesomeness.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a walk for me, too. That'd be a home game. I could walk back up there and then walk back home. And
could you walk back home, though, or would you need
that's,
to
yeah, that's
you
the might, hope. You that's might the have hope to is walk
a,
that off.
Get
is,
a ride back home.
I've been starting to do that now. The whole, you know, you eat the lunch, right? You eat the, like a bit, and then you walk back home like a mile and a half,
yeah,
whatever
like
you
purpose?
End up doing.
My wife and I
yeah,
love
like
doing
on
that.
On purpose. It really helps kind of wear things down a little bit, kind of grinds the edge off of whatever the hell you ate.
I do that occasionally with Jerry's Grill at Western and Montrose.
I know the spot.
Oh, the I mean, that's
the, I just drove by the spot the other day.
Joint, man.
It says, my favorite part, I was driving with a friend of mine, and he owns a place up there. You know, he rents it out as kind of a landlord kind of deal. And we're driving by, and he looks at me as we're stopped right across from Jerry's Grill. He looks at me and goes, for 7 years, I thought the name of this place was Ham on the Bone because it says
on the brick. Ham on the Bone.
It's got painted on the brick, Ham on the Bone. And for 6 years, he asked people.
Because
like,
he couldn't see the sign.
He couldn't see, because of where you drive. It depends on how you approach Jerry's Grill. And he's just like, man. To friends, he's like, oh, meet me at Ham on the Bone. And then you try and goot. Nobody knows where the hell they're going. They're like, Tom, what the hell are you doing? No one can find this place.
It's Jerry's.
Ham on the Bone. It's Jerry's Grill. It's of course it is.
Cash only. And there's an ATM across the street, but you don't want to be.
Don't make that walk.
Three times, like, oh,
don't
I forgot
make
it's
that
cash
walk.
Only.
It's the worst.
Yeah, you don't want to say, I'll be right back. Here, leave my rest of my wallet. So
it's like going to Emmett's and bringing a card. It's a bad move.
The other thing, do you see that Diner Grill reopened or is about to reopen?
And which one's that one?
Okay. It used to be one side said Dinner Grill and the other side said Diner Grill.
Is that the one on Lincoln?
No, it's the one on Irving Park, just down from the Piggery. It's like Irving Park and Marshfield.
Spot. Yeah, totally. By the bowling alley.
Just the counter.
Yeah.
It's literally just a counter.
Absolutely.
It's where they serve the slinger.
Used to go there a ton.
And it closed.
I think.
It closed. There was a fire or something bad, and it closed.
Sure.
And it's reopening, and they've redone it, and now both sides say Dinner Grill. So we always called it. Or Diner, or maybe both said say Diner Grill. But either way, there's always some debate as to whether it was Diner or Dinner because the restaurant itself could not decide. At a 90-degree angle, one side said one and one side said the other.
Well, there's some agency issues there, too. Decide. Make your decision.
When we come back, I'm going to give you the opinion here. It's a couple paragraphs from Kelly Scaletta of Bleacher Report. He has ranked the Zach LaVine contract as the contract that will be least likely to be lived up to.
Huh.
Of all of the contracts that have been signed so far.
Okay.
He has ranked this as essentially the worst, and he explains why. So I've got this for you next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I get it. Everything they're saying, if they really believe all of what they're saying and they see a gem to be polished out of this, go ahead and do it. Now it's on you, Fred. Well, say, Fred, now it's on you.
Quick question.
Yes?
I get it.
You don't have to raise your hand.
I feel like I have to raise your hand. I feel like everyone's looking at this from the same kind of perspective. Like, yes, if they've self-scouted correctly, or I guess not self-scouted because they acquired the guy from the Timberwolves in the first place. But, like, this is – I understand that. How – and maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't matter if he's an elite scorer. Maybe if he's the top level of projected ability, it doesn't. How are you going to get him to play defense? How?
And interest him. Or in playing offense when he doesn't have the ball.
Even that, though, I get, okay, there are ways you could do that. If the Wendell Carter, Lowry Markkanen thing works the way we think it'll work from the get-go, right? If that's right, then I can see Zach LaVine playing offense without the ball somewhat effectively. I don't know how you're going to get him to play defense. Given the lineup that you're going to run out there, what seems to be that starting five, I think that will matter.
This is Kelly Scaletta of Bleacher Report. He's been a guest on these airwaves before. Zach LaVine is the proud owner of a 4-year, $78 million contract. The Sacramento Kings made the offer, but the Bulls stepped in and matched it. It is the one contract of the summer that is emphatically horrible. So the Kings tried to Kangs. That's the hashtag. It's sort of like cubes.
Or LOL Mets.
Right. It's K-A-N-G-Z. But the Bulls front office said, hold my Chicago brewed beer. It's almost to prove they were right in the trade. The Bulls gave LaVine almost $20 million per year. Even if LaVine evolves into the playmaker and scorer they hope he can be, he has major issues on the other end. His DRPM, defensive rating per minute, ranked 490th. That isn't just a statistic either. The eye test backs it up. His inability to stay in front of ball handlers is rivaled only by his failure to pay attention when he's not the point of attack. Remember, these are problems even Tom Thibodeau couldn't fix when LaVine was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. LaVine can make incredible plays on offense, but it's doubtful he'll live up to this contract.
Tom Thibodeau made Carlos Boozer work defensively.
And by saying live up to the contract, it means live up to reasonable starting player. It's not some insane amount of money, but if you're not going to live up to be a starter of some value, that's saying something.
Yeah, but I don't know that that's the floor, really. The value of the contract might be reasonable starting player, but the value of the contract plus the rhetoric from the Bulls means more than that. You know what I'm saying? It is not just in a vacuum the value of that deal. It's not.
It's what they're saying.
It's not the 19.5. It's also the words used to justify matching a Kings offer sheet. And like I said, I do think there is value to having had the Kings put injury protection language in that contract. I think there is real and concrete value in that. I just don't think that meeting out some sort of expectation of him being reasonable starter is quite accurate, given the way they've talked about him, given the way they've talked about him in reference to the rebuild itself. And remember, too, I'm willing to throw out last season.
Okay.
For Zach. I am. And I think I come to this from a good place. I think I come to this ready to lay down part of my argument in front of whomever would like to shout for Zach LaVine. I think that's a good thing. I am willing to compromise, because a guy who's that compromised health wise and that compromised in minutes limit and that compromised in shots he's got to get up, and how you've got to feel knowing that, like, hey, not only was I traded for to be a centerpiece of this rebuild, but I also have restricted free agency coming up, and they're telling me I can't do everything. They're going to give me the hook after 20 or 22 or 24 or whatever it was at. I'm willing to throw that out. Go back to the first 3 years with the Timberwolves, and whether it's that piece from Bleacher Report there that points out his defensive inefficiency or a complete lack of interest with Tom Thibodeau, or even the way he's making shots in the first 3 years with the Timberwolves, the kind of shots he's trying to make, the way that offense had to work with him. There are still fair questions, I think, about what ceiling is for Zach LaVine.
If you want to meet Joe Maddon, you got to keep listening. Because today, between now and 1 o'clock on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, by the way, 9 to 1, Monday through Friday.
Hi.
On the Score. Hey, we've got two pairs of passes to meet Joe Maddon following our July 24th live broadcast here from the downtown Blue Cross Blue Shield studios. I know we have Cubs All-Stars, we have a White Sox All-Star, mm-hmm. and we're going to be getting into some baseball discussion later. I think the fact that these Cubs are the All-Stars is meaningful. And I don't know if this discussion has gotten to this point yet, but these guys getting in the way that they did, I think, is significant. And I also think it's just kind of cool. I'll explain why when we come back on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.